Because you've been so good to us, Father God. There is none like you, Father. There's none like you, Father God. And so, Father, we thank you on this day, oh, Father. And we bless your name and we praise your name, Father. And we ask, oh, God, that you will continue, oh, God, to lead us and guide us and strengthen us, Father God, from one degree to another, from breath to breath and heart to heart. And, God, we will forever give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory all the days of our lives. And we ask all of these petitions in the mighty and matchless and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Thank Reverend Tyson for the fervent prayer. Amen. Thank God for praise things, singing God's praises. Let's give God some praise. Praise God. Giving God the honor, the glory, and the praise he richly deserves. The last song, amen. Creator of the universe.
Yes.
Amen. None like him. Amen. Amen. And the sight was praying. Amen. And she was saying, there's none like him. Amen. No. Amen. So we want to continue with that name. Amen. Hymn number 217. And that is No Not One. No Not One. The first verse is, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal all our soul diseases. No, not one. No, not one. And I like the refrain that says, Jesus knows all about our struggles.
Yes, he does.
And he will guide us till the day is done.
Yes.
There's not a friend. Somebody needs to say amen.
Amen.
Like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. See, the old school church, amen, be a Sunday morning just like this, right? And they start off slow, amen. And by the time they got to the refrain, Lord have mercy, they done tore the church up, amen. Because they realized, amen, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Let's sing to the glory of God. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not. Y'all might as well sing it like you know it. No, not. Love else in him. Love else in him. All I told me. No, not one. No, not. No, not one. No, thinking we're throwing his back.
Oh, Worshiper, last four digits,
3343.
Good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Thank God this morning that it gave me a chance to stand up on my feet, open my eyes, and see the sunshine in my eyes. The Father, we said, thank you for blessing this day. You have brought me a mighty long way. And I thank you, Father, for allowing me this day to open my mouth, my eyes to open and say, thank you, God, that you've been good to me a mighty, mighty long way. And thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 7351. 7351, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor, and First Lady, and all of First Heart of God. I'm just so glad to be here this morning, and thank you for allowing me to testify and let everyone know that we all love God. I love God. I need God. And I just pray that he's going to always, and I know he will, be there for me. He has been there for the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's been a little rough, but God let me know that he is there and he's not going anywhere. And I pray that we all just stay safe, keep trusting, Lord, and I'll talk to you next week. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We know we got Deacon Bryce on the line. We just want to give her a shout out. Praise the Lord, Deacon Bryce. Amen. Amen, that God is good and greatly to be praised. Amen. So we thank God for those that are continuing to dial in and fellowship with us remotely. Thank for those that are online through whatever means, the internet, through Facebook, through Blog Talk, and all the areas that you can get in. Amen. We thank God for your prayers and your continued support. And we know without a shadow of a doubt, amen, God honors our faith. Amen. Don't you think, amen, that God doesn't see you whichever way you tune in or wherever you come in. Amen. He knows who's watching. He knows who's praying. He knows who's fellowshipping. He knows, amen, who's giving him the glory. Amen. Whatever means you get it, amen, and give it, amen. He knows, so we thank God, amen, for allowing us, amen, to be able to worship and pray and thank God, amen. I was looking the other day, amen, how we would get together, amen, on the phone, amen, and we would fellowship, and I don't know where you were, amen, but it was praise and worship where I was, amen, amen. So now that we're back in the building, we're still able to give God the praise remotely. And so we can give God the honor, the glory, and the praise, because truly he's worthy of all our praise. Amen. Even in the midst of a global pandemic, all your years, amen, that you've lived, you never thought you'd see, amen, a global pandemic. But God prepared us that even while we were, amen, beginning our church, we were able to have remote services. Amen. So we just kept on going. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God the glory. Amen. 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 The Holy Spirit didn't miss a beat. Amen. God is just like that. Amen. Amen. He doesn't miss a beat. Amen. And none of this stuff takes him by surprise. Amen. Amen. He is God, and he's God all by himself. Amen. Amen. So we're ready to go to the Lord again in prayer. So we're going to ask Reverend Lindsay if she would come at this time, and that she would lead us in prayer. Reverend Lindsay.
Oh Lord, our Lord, high and good is thy name, Lord, who has set our glory among us. Oh God, we come this morning with grateful hearts. We come, Father, thanking you for another beautiful day. Thanking you, oh God, because of your grace and your mercy, that we are able to enter into your house to worship one more time. And we don't take it for granted, because we know it's only by your grace and your mercy that you allow us this morning, Father, to wake up in our right mind and have the advantages of our lives, oh God. In spite of what these bodies feel like and look like, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, God. You've been mighty good unto us. You gave us one more day that we can work. through the power of your Holy Spirit. As you move from heart to heart and breath to breath, oh God. If you see anything in us this morning, Father, that's not pleasing, we pray, Jesus, that you would wash us and clean us, sanctify us in your blood and in your word, Father. And oh God, as you clean us, Lord, Father God, we pray that you would just work on our hearts and your nostrils. Let us be more like you, Jesus. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you for the power of the blood, and we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the power of your word, Jesus, because it was keeps us from day to day. And Father God, I ask today, oh Father God, that your Holy Spirit will continue to look on your name, sir. Oh God, as you continue, Father God, to preach your word. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you give him all your revelation, God. Take him deep into your word, oh God. That Father God, that he might have understanding and enlightenment, oh God. Only you can give, Father. Oh God, we thank you today. We thank you for his perseverance, oh God. We thank you for his endeavor. We thank you for his encouragement and for his prayers, oh God. We are truly blessed this morning, oh God. Because he's your main servant, Father. And we thank you for him, Father God. We thank you for every prayer that he offers for his people, oh God. We thank you for how he watched over the sheep, oh God. Hold them in the palm of your hand and keep them, Lord Jesus. Even when you feel like you don't have nowhere to go and you don't have a friend, oh God. Be that comforter, oh God. Comfort him at the midnight hour with your word and with your Holy Spirit, oh God. Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. And then we thank you, Father, for fresh baby cakes, God. We thank you for how you boiled and how you kept, oh God. Continue to help us to be that help me that you need to be. And look on the first family in a special manner. Continue to bless the grandchildren. Oh God, we pray for every family in this place. We pray for every member of the heart of God today, Lord Jesus. Regardless of who they are, how they might be watching or looking at you, Lord Jesus. We pray through the priesthood, Father, that you will reach their heart. You know what they need, Father. Some need peace, some need joy, some need food, some need deliverance, some need direction, oh God. Some just want to know your name. So Father, I pray that you will grant to them, even the ones that need your salvation today, Jesus. I pray that you will get it to them today, Father. And Lord Jesus, we pray for your healing virtues upon the sick and the shut in everywhere. Those that are in hospitals and homes and nursing homes. Those that are convalescing at home, oh God, we pray that you would touch, heal, and deliver. We pray continually for Jesus Christ, oh God. Father God, we pray that you look on mom and Papa Richardson. Big my sister Heavenly, oh God. And then, Father God, I pray a special prayer for my son, Mark Lindsay, oh God. I pray that you would touch his body from every COVID and everything. And not only him, oh God, but whoever has it, oh God. The Lord is winding the grandchildren, oh God, touch and heal their bodies, Lord. And oh God, we're getting you cancer. We're getting you sugar diabetes. We're getting you high blood pressure this morning. We're getting you mental sickness this morning. Whatever the problem is, we know you got enough of medicine. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the name of your God, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And we just reach our own.
Forever, forever, forever.
thank God, thank God. He blesses. God, I was very faithful. Amen. It's an awesome thing to know, amen, that God is the one that has the final say. Did anybody hear what I said? I said God is the one that has the final say. Amen. Man can talk a whole lot of this. Amen. Yes, amen, she ain't that, amen. But in the end, amen, God has the final, amen. The final, amen. Say so, amen. Somebody said he trumps everything, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We want to go to the Word of God today. And last week, we went to the book of Colossians. We were trying to get to chapter 3. Amen. And we started in Colossians, the first chapter, and we were talking, amen, about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how the gospel, amen, did it again. And how, amen, that this gospel, amen, was the ability to give us salvation. The good news was that Jesus came and he died for the sins of the world. Amen? That was the good news. And in John, the third chapter, in verse 16, the Bible declares that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, amen, would not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? And so salvation is free, amen, but sanctification is going to cost you. Amen? In other words, it's going to cost you to be able to allow God's Holy Spirit to be able to sanctify and cleanse you, amen, and form you into his image. Amen? The book of Romans said that we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen? There has to be, after salvation, Dr. Sykes, there needs to be a transformation into his image. Amen? And last week we talked about being adopted into the family of God. We did talk about that last week. Amen. And everybody raised their hand and said, I've been adopted into the family of God. Amen? Because of his death, I died. Because of his burial, I was buried. Because of his resurrection, I was raised. Amen. He was the firstborn from the dead. And because I'm in him, I follow behind him. Amen. And so my death, my burial, and my resurrection is because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross down in the grave. And because he died a righteous death and God has placed me in him, he no longer sees me in my unrighteousness, but I'm covered in the righteousness, the righteous blood of Jesus. So when he got up, we got up. Amen. And we have been adopted into the family of God. Amen. And so God said, you've been adopted. You have been born again. You have been bought with the price. You've been filled and sealed by the Holy Ghost. And because you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, now God is expecting us to act like we are part of the family of God. Lord have mercy. In other words, we need to act like our Heavenly Father. Lord have mercy. It's one thing to accept this salvation, to experience the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But because we're still in this flesh, Dr. Lindsay, amen, we from time to time behave like the old man behaved, amen. The old man, amen, that acted like his other daddy, amen, in the world, Satan, that didn't care anything about anybody, that didn't love anything about anybody, that didn't get along with the neighbors that he had. But because of the newness, the recreation. The Bible says if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so now because of the gospel, the good news, we ought to act and walk, amen, like we've been saved. Lord have mercy. I know I was meddling last week, but we need to continue to meddle this week, amen. See, you've got to act, amen, like your daddy. Amen.
You got to act like you've been born again. You got to act like you're in love with the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that last week, about being in love with the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit will allow you to do, Sister Juanita, it'll allow you to love people in spite of people. But have mercy. One of the most difficult things on this earth to do is to get along with your neighbors. Lord have mercy. Have you got a win? One of the most difficult things, and they say, well, who is my neighbor? Anybody that's next to you in your neighbor. Amen. And everybody ain't neighborly. Come on, have I got a witness? Amen. You got children in your house. Amen. They're your neighbors. And they don't act like, amen. They even know you as mama and daddy sometimes. They're folks that live right next to you in the neighborhood. And sometimes you walk out of the house and they can't even park their lips and say, good morning, hi dog, bye dog. There's folk in the church, Lord have mercy, I'm meddling now, amen. You walk through the door, smile at them, good morning, and they ask you, what's so good about it? Oh, when you're living in this flesh, amen, we need some sanctification. We need some stuff, amen, from the Holy Spirit that will get rid of, amen, that old nature, that old man that would cut you out in a drop of a hat, that old man that would gossip and talk and backbite, that old man that would get upset when he didn't get his way. Somebody know what I'm talking about this morning. That old man that was selfish and jealous and wanted to do his own thing. We got to allow the love of God and the Holy Spirit to work on that joker. The Bible says, we got to crucify the flesh on a what? Daily basis. Otherwise, the church looks just as bad as the world. Ain't nothing worse than a bunch of saved folk acting like the devil. Yeah. Yeah. So Paul was excited when he heard about the good stuff that the church at Colossae was doing. They had it going on. Amen. Paul was excited. There was a fella, amen, that was leading them by Epaphras, and he was leading them, and he was conducting himself as a fellow servant, a fellow co-laborer in Christ, and that's what we said last week, Sister Randolph, is that we gotta act like servants, amen. We gotta be able to understand that Jesus said that the greatest is the one that serves as the least. We got that thing twisted, amen. We think the greatest is the one in the highest position, but no, the greatest is the one that serves. The least is the one that is the greatest. God said to be last, you gotta be to be first. You need to be last, and to be last, you gotta be first. And God has a way of talking to us, amen, in a gospel spirit. Amen. That will let us know that we can't think fleshy, but we got to think spiritually. Just like when we worship God, we can't worship God in the flesh. The Bible teaches us that they that worship God must worship him in what? Spirit, what? And in truth. So as we worship God in spirit and in truth, we need to pick up his word. And we need to understand, amen, that the power is in the gospel message. Yeah. The power, I'm going to say that again, the power is in the gospel message. I'm going to say it one more time. Y'all say it with me. The power is in the gospel message. In other words, the word of God has power, what? All by itself. And it's delivered by the Holy Spirit, which is dunamis in the Greek, which is power. You have the power of God that is in you that you release out of your mouth. You ain't going do nothing but speak it and live it, and it has the power to transform minds, hearts, and lives. Yes. Paul, we go to another church in the book of Romans. He got excited when he was writing to the church of Rome, the one of the last stops along his Christian journey, and he got to a place, Dr. Sykes, amen, where he let everyone know that he had something, amen, that he didn't have when he was just doing the law. He didn't have that understanding. And see, that's the problem with the church is we make this thing too complicated. We make ministry too complicated. We need to break it down and realize, amen, that the power is not in us, but it's the power in us delivered by the Holy Spirit. And when we live, move, and have our being in him, what happens is we just shine and release the power of God, and the power of God does the work. Oh, have mercy. Because in and of our own power, we are simply incapable of doing it. Look at Romans, the first chapter, and verse 16, and look at what Paul is saying. Paul, this gospel, and the gospel has to get a hold of the church. The message has to get a hold of. We've got to get a hold of this thing and focus in on the basics of what's going on. And he says in Romans, the first chapter, and verse 16, what does he say? Dr. Sykes, he says, for I am what? Not ashamed, what? Of the what? Gospel of Christ. For it is what, Dr. Lindsay? The power of God to what? Unto salvation. To who? Everyone that what? Believe. What? To the Jew first, but also what? To the Greek. In other words, the gospel is the power of God to save the lost souls of this world. And what we have to do is get to a place where we begin to dial down everything else, amen, that's not relative, Lord have mercy. We need to dial it down and allow the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to be the clarion voice of the church, amen, that will reach those that are lost. You say, wow, why do we need to reach those folks that are lost? What's going on? Why did the gospel have to be so loud, brother preacher? Why was Paul not ashamed of it? Why did Paul talk about it in the book of Colossians? Why was Paul the one that was so excited when people got a hold of the understanding that they were to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ? And that will make a difference in this world. He said, why do we need to preach and teach this thing? And the reason we need to preach and teach this thing is because people in the world are off the chain. Anybody look at the news on any day or listen to the news on any day, and you'll realize that people, what, are off the chain. I think it was last week, I looked just briefly at a clip that came up on the radio, and it said a man had taken his wife or his girlfriend, bound her up on the 8th floor, and threw her off a balcony in one of the upper crusty areas of Washington, D.C. Words can't articulate how off the chain that is. To be able to bind somebody up and then throw them off the 8th floor, amen. Whoa. I don't have words. All I have is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't change somebody's heart. I can't change nobody's mind. I can't get somebody to have compassion for somebody else. But Paul, the word says that if you preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that this is a clarion voice to the world, that those that know God and have the Holy Spirit, that will walk upright and set the example, that there's something in that example, there's something in that word, Dr. Lindsay, that has the ability to change the heart and the mind of mankind. And all you have to do is look at yourself as a witness. To say it was the gospel that changed my life. It was the gospel that changed my mind. It was the gospel that changed my stony heart, amen, that I could love people that weren't lovely. It was the gospel, amen, that gave me patience. It was the gospel, amen, that gave me long suffering. It was the gospel, amen, that made me love people, amen, that made me speak kindly to people. It was the gospel, amen, that had me giving understanding. It's the gospel, amen, that took that whatever I was leaning and depending on away. It was the gospel that turned my life around. And so you say, well, what kind of stuff are they? I just gave you some stuff that I heard last week. I'm going to tell you what Paul said. if you read down a little bit further, and then Paul's going to go deep on y'all. Now, don't nobody get mad, because Paul's going to go deep and talk about folks off the chain. Why do we need, look at somebody and say, why do we need to proclaim the gospel? Because people are off the chain. The Bible's getting ready to go there. Look at somebody say, the Bible's getting ready to go there. If you don't want to hear it, walk out, close your ears, turn the TV off, turn the internet, turn everything off. Because the Bible's getting ready to go there. What they do when they have these war-torn scenes, they say, now this is going to be graphic. So if you don't like it, just turn away. Amen. They give you a forewarning, right? So if you're not ready for it, amen. Just turn it off and turn away. Because if the shoe fits, the gospel's trying to get it off of you. Lord have mercy. So let's read down what Paul says. He says in verse 18, for the Romans 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness. In other words, all off the chain. In other words, God's not pulling any punches with these folks. He wasn't pulling punches with us. He ain't pulling punches with nobody. In other words, he says, all ungodliness, right? And on what? Righteousness of men who hold the truth in what? On what? Righteousness. Because that which may be known of God is what? Manifest in them, for God has showed it unto you. In other words, God showed you what was right, and God showed you what was wrong. Somebody get ready to turn it off. Get ready to turn it off. Get ready to turn it off. And we want to have clarity. So I'm going to read a little bit of this in the NIV so that we can have clarity so that a lot of folks don't track well with the King James. And so we're going to read it in the NIV so you can understand it very well. Amen? Is that all right? Amen. Amen. I don't want anybody to get this thing misconstrued. Amen. That God is serious about this thing. And that God is expecting us, amen, to behave in a certain way, amen. And he has clearly shown us, amen, there's a certain way that he's expecting us to behave. When you have trained your children, when you have born your children, when you have taken care of them, that you have fed them, you have clothed them, you have been their protector, you have done everything for them, there's a certain way that you are expecting them, amen, to behave. Anybody have any children, amen? And when they don't behave in a certain respectful manner, the Bible says, spare the rod. You might as well turn it off because I'm getting ready to say something. Your 2-second warning. Amen. The Bible says, 1, 2, spare the rod and what? Spoil the child. So when you look at what Paul says in this chapter 1, Lord have mercy, he get ready to go deep. Dr. Lindsay, he get ready to go for it. So I want people to be ready. We're going to pick it up, amen, in verse 19, Romans chapter 1, and beginning at verse 19. And when we look at this thing, I don't want you to get squeamish, because he's going to run through some stuff that's prevalent back then that is also prevalent in this world, amen? Now I'm going to read it, amen. If you don't want to hear it, you don't want to read it, I suggest you turn it off. Amen? Amen. Here we go. Verse 19. In verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their what? Wickedness. Verse 19 says, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. In other words, God has made plain what's right and what's not right, what's righteous and what's unrighteous. You don't have to blame it on mama, daddy, anybody. God has made it plain. In verse 20, he says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what was been made so that people are without what? Excuse. Look at somebody say, there ain't no excuse. Look at somebody, brother, there ain't no excuse. Look at somebody, sister, there ain't no excuse. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. God has made it clear, amen, that he is God and there is no excuse. In verse 21, he says, for although they knew God, what happened? They neither glorified him as what God, nor gave what thanks to him, but their thinking became what? Futile, and their foolish hearts were what? Darkened. Right? Wouldn't acknowledge God. Verse 22, although they claimed to be wise, they became what? Fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a what? A mortal man, being and birds and animals and what? Reptiles. They glorified the creation. Verse 24, he says, therefore, this is what God did. God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to what? Sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Here comes another commercial warning. You go, you don't want to hear it, turn away, turn the TV down, send the kids out of the room, whatever, all right? So he says, It says, therefore God gave them, verse 24, over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a what? Lie, and worshiped and served the created things rather than what? The Creator, who is forever praised. And if you don't praise God, the rocks are going to cry out. Amen. Verse 29, because of this, Dr. Lindsay, he said, God gave him over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with the lust one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and receiving themselves the due penalty of their what? Error. Verse 28, he says, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they ought not to be done. They have become fulfilled with every kind, did he say every kind, Dr. Frank? Every kind of wickedness, Dr. Lindsay, evil, Dr. greed and what? Depravity. They are full of envy, what? Murder, strife, deceit, and what? Malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Nobody wants to see that man.
Yes.
When I say poker off the chain, did you read that with me? Would you say, would you agree that poker off the chain? Now I'm not making this stuff up.
No, you're not.
That's why we need the gospel, because every one of us in here, amen, at one time, amen, was one of these things. Amen. Some of them was quite a few.
Yep.
Amen. But God, the gospel of what Jesus Christ came down through what? 42 generations so that he could save us from this crazy, off the chain, crazy crap, what I call it last week, cracked up crazy stuff, amen, that mankind is capable of doing. Tying people up and throwing them off the balcony. No mercy. Amen. Why do we need this gospel? I say we need the gospel really, 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 really bad. Because it is the power that can change the hearts and the minds of people. You can't change them on your own. I can't change them on my own. Amen. It's got to be the gospel of Jesus Christ that will change their heart and mind, that will let them know that there's forgiveness of that sin. Amen. That you don't have to live that way. That God will forgive you. That God will give you a new spirit. That God will change your mind. God will give you a transformed heart. God will give you a newness of life. God will give you the ability to have peace. God will give you the ability to be able to stand up and not have a guilty conscience. God would throw all of that in the sea of forgetfulness. That is the good news of the gospel. So he just didn't leave you in that cracked up, crazy, off the chain stuff. But what kind of me, Dr. Sanchez said, not only do they know it's not right, but they rejoice in the folks that do the stuff that ain't right. It's like a big, wicked, revolving door, an axis, amen, of ungodliness. It sweeps up everything along its path. If you and I aren't rooted and grounded in this word, if you don't raise your children up, if you don't take care and take the time to pray for yourselves and one another, amen, that axis of evil will wrap up your child. It will wrap up your husband, your wife. It will entwine the people that you love. It will entwine cities and nations and states and governments. It will entwine presidents and ministers of government. It will entwine them in this axis of evil, and they will hang out with people just as evil and bad as they are, and they'll do things, amen, that are ungodly, even though they know it's ungodly, because they haven't accepted, amen, the gospel of Jesus Christ into their lives that will change their hearts and their minds. And if you look at Romans 12, he says so clearly why we need to continue to study and teach and preach this gospel. In chapter 12, verse 1, and I'm going to let us go. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. Not any old kind of sacrifice, but what? Holy, acceptable unto God. And God said, I ain't asking for a whole lot. He says, which is your what? Reasonable what? Service. And in verse 2, he says, and be not what? Conformed to this what? World. But be you what? Transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, what? And what acceptable and perfect will of what? God. Cracked up crazy off the chain. You look at chapter 16 and you read that old chapter. It might have been going on back then. But how many can you agree it's going on? The same thing is going on right now. And the thing is, ain't nobody judging nobody, because can't nobody judge but God. So don't get mad with me, as my grandmother used to say. How's that? Take it up with the word. And if you slow your roll just long enough, amen, Paul was going the opposite way he should have went on. God reached out with him with their gospel. Lord have mercy. Somebody said the gospel has done it again. And it changed his heart, Dr. Lindsay. Amen. Changed that story. Apostle, I was the chief of sinner. I was the big baddest sinner in the world. But once that gospel got a hold of him, Sister Juanita, Lord have mercy. The fights he used to fight, amen, he didn't fight anymore. The murders he used to commit murder. He didn't murder no more. The trials and the people he used to bring into judgment hall, he didn't bring anymore. But those are the people that he served and that he loved and that he cared for, because he wasn't ashamed of the gospel, because he understood in his own life what the gospel had done in his life. He recognized that when he got knocked off his high horse, that Jesus didn't lead him down, but Jesus picked him up. Jesus cleaned him up. Jesus turned his life around, gave him a new heart, gave him a new walk, transformed his mind, got him in a position where they had peace. That was all past understanding. He said that I've learned that ever the state I'm in, I've learned to be content. And you can say, I got peace in the midst of the storm. Well, I got peace in the midst of the trials and the tribulations of this life. When the world is cracked up crazy and doing their own thing, I still can love in spite of, I still can present the gospel when season and out of season, instant, at all times, to give an account of what's going on in this world. Lord have mercy, you read chapter 16, and you say that was in the 21st century, on the first century church, I would say it's in the 21st century church as well. Don't get mad at me. Get mad with the word of God. With the word of God, the gospel is trying to take it off you. Because God loves you in spite of you. I got a witness today. The record says, good God Almighty, that while we were yet sinners, look at somebody and said, I was a yet sinner. I can't talk about nobody else's sin. God looks at it all as sin. And if you study the record long enough, the Bible says that Jesus died for the sins of the world. In other words, it wasn't a specific sin. It wasn't just your sin. It wasn't just my sin. It wasn't just the sin in chapter 1 of Romans. But it was all sin, because the record says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the gift of God. Somebody say glory. I thank God for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad today that the gospel has done it again, that it has the ability to change hearts and change minds, that it has the ability to turn the stony heart into a fleshy heart. Aren't you glad today that the gospel has the ability to reach way down? Anybody ever been down and the gospel reach way down, pick you up, turn you around, set your feet on a solid rock? The angels rejoice in heaven over your soul. I know it's not out with the world. Aren't you glad that the gospel of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Get mad at the folk that continue to allow you to wallow in that mess. Turn around. Turn your life over to God and let him take care of the rest. Justice going to stand up and say, this was it. They're going to indict you. Amen. For all the mess that you done. But when justice stands up and demands that you should die, Jesus going to roll up his sleeve. Oh, glory. He's going to show this nail print in that hand. He's going to roll up his other sleeve. He's going to show the nail print in that hand. And if he got a long garment on, Dr. Sykes, he's going to show the nail print in his feet. And if he got his head covered up, Dr. Nibley, he gonna show with a crown of thorns. Poke through his cup. And then he gonna roll back his garment and show when it pierced him in his tie. Justice beginning to sit down. Justice began to roll out the daughter. The judge got the hammer up and get ready to miss the case. And he said, I got him a straight up fruit. The father would pull back the curtain and show the blood. The blood. The blood. The righteous blood that covered it. The righteous blood that covered everything in chapter 1. The righteous blood. Ain't the Lord all right? Ain't the Lord all right? Everybody pack their briefcases up. Everybody is talked up. Everybody put everything in. Just say, case closed. Charges dismissed. Been paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. And slain for the foundation of the world. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad about it? Aren't you glad that the gospel has done it again? Haven't you seen a child with the gospel do it again? Haven't you seen a husband with the gospel that has done it? Haven't you seen a co-worker? Haven't you seen a neighbor that the gospel touched and changed their life? Because of the gospel. But I can't get it. All I can do is give. You got to receive it for yourself. You got to make that choice. You got to fall out with the ways of the world. Amen. You got to say, I throw it to time. You got to say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. I cover claim the blood of Jesus on my life. And when you do that, your life will never be the same. You'll wonder why and what took me so long. But because of the choice that you made, you are able to experience everlasting life. And so if you're here today, it might be someone, a man, woman, boy, or girl, you never made the choice. So you have to make a choice to receive him as Lord and Savior. And the gospel is simple. It's simple as God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you make the choice? Thank you.
Redeem the Lord. Sing together.
title of this sermon was The Gospel Has Done It Again. In Jesus' name, amen.